Let's talk it, huh? Okay. Okay. So, good morning again. And we go today with this last lecture. I'm really happy to be here and you be here. I expect you have learned, have a first taste about this kind of thing in order to investigate, to learn more about this. Of course, as I told you in the first day, relational model, relational database is still your first option. But in special requirements, large volume, flexibility, whatever, you can analyze the possibility to do that. By fact, yesterday some asked about Mongo successful cases. And it's quite easy to search. I do the exercise yesterday to search in Google about successful MongoDB cases uses. Apart from some independent analysis, there are full information in the Mongo website. The Mongo website, I told you, Mongo is open source, but there is a company that is trying to get some benefit, providing you services about Mongo. So it's optional, of course, these services. And in this page of Mongo, there are many information about case of use, case of success of being using Mongo. Okay? So the first part of the lecture today will be about graph databases. Sorry, please. Avant, previous to forget, I remember you that in the first page, at the end of the first page, I put you really interesting references. If you want, of course, you can look, but if you want the specific or overall information about non-relational databases, NoSQL databases, or about graph databases, what's one of the points we will talk today, you have some of these available sources that you can find freely in internet. They are books, but they are available and freely available about NoSQL databases, of this book about Cassandra, this book about Mongo, or this other book about overall graph databases. So, talking about graph databases, the point is that in sometimes your best solution for your computing problem is a graph. So you need a graph. You will work with a graph, and if you want to store in a permanent way the information of the graph, you might write store in files or use a database that is focused in storing information about graphs. So, because relational databases are not the best idea, are not at all the best solution to store information about graphs. So, what do you have in graph structures? In graph structures, you have nodes, you have vertex, and you have properties. So, you can use a database that is designed to store, to manage, to retrieve this kind of information. This is what is called a graph database. So this is quite different from the other models. So it's quite easy to determine if graph databases is your solution. If your problem needs graphs, your best solution is a graph database. Okay? So, to manage relationship, when there are a lot of relationship between the elements, and you want, for instance, calculate the shortest path between two nodes, or for instance, if you want to manage some information like the Google Maps. So the Google Maps, you have places and you have distances by walking, by car, by transport. There are nodes and they are vertex. So you want to store and you want to use a software that is prepared, that is designed to use and to organize this kind of information. So in graph databases like this one, this is a graphic way to show a graph database, but you don't define tables. You will use nodes and vertex. The nodes might have properties and might have labels. The vertex have names and might have properties. For instance, if you want to store and manage information about a bookstore, you must have, you say, you have information about authors, about books, and about the clients, the customers of the bookstore. So, if you have authors, you will have one node for each author. A node for each author, as I said, a node have labels. The labels is like the way to classify entities. If you have author, he has the label author. He also is a person, so I can also put the global person. And he has properties. The properties is a semi-structured information. You can have a name, key name value, as in Mongo. In this case, it has only name, key name value, but of course, it might have another information about birth date or whatever. Okay? Then, if you have books, information of books, you will have a node for each book. So, you have not to define a table of books or whatever. You want to store a book, you store a node with the label book and the information, the key name, the pair of key name fields you want. About customers is the same. I am or Alan or whatever, and you can have the email and other information. And the relationships are represented by vertex. Not as in a relational model that you have foreign keys, propagation, or another table, or whatever. There is a relation between nodes. You have a vertex between two nodes. For instance, here you say that John Le Carré wrote the novel Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. So you put a vertex. The vertex, all vertex has a name. Graham Greene wrote Our Man in Havana. And vertex also might have attributes, characteristics. For instance, you say, I am purchased this book, and you might want to store also the date or the price or the car he used to pay or whatever. So this is a graph, and we want to use a software to organize this information as a database, as a graph database. One of the most popular graph database software is Neo4j. Neo4j is also created by a company, but it's open source. It's at your availability. And as the others, it's designed to be used by applications. So they have APIs for the programming language you use. And it also have a query language. The query language about for Neo4j is called Cypher. It's called Cypher and is not SQL, not SQL. It's different. It's a language to query graph databases that has an aspect like that. And now we will see some samples about that. Documentation on the Cypher query language is here. You have on documentation. We won't do exercises. We will have now look some samples about graph databases. Here is an example of a Cypher query, but now we go to do something. To do something, Neo4j for demonstration, for show, for test, have a online console. And you can, all by fact, use this online console. This online console, that you don't need user, password, or anything, is this one. In this online console, we have the possibility, I need to hide this. The possibility to write Cypher queries, to get results for the Cypher queries, and to help us, he does a graphic view of the graph. Okay? But instead of here, this app, there are a lot of Cypher queries, but the place to write Cypher queries are here. And for instance, in the materials, I put some Cypher queries to develop. For instance, you want to create a new node, so Cypher queries have the create operation. For instance, this create operation you can see here is you will create a node with the label crew and with the properties that the name is defected, a node for me, for instance. So you can write or you can copy and paste. This one here, and he said, updated the graph, created one node, and in the graphical view, you say, I have one node here. Okay, so to create a node is as easy as that. To create is to create a node in the graph database. How do you search? How do you select? How do you something like define? So in the Cypher query language is match. Match is the way in this language to select what? To select those nodes that has the label for you. By fact, some of the Neo4j are a Matrix fan, so this is a character from the Matrix movie, and so not me, I am not in the Matrix movie. But here, for instance, search nodes crew on return is. So this we have the result about which of the nodes here are of the have the label crew? Neo, Morpheus, Trinity, Cypher, and okay. Of course, in the select you can specify more things. You can search for specifying label or specifying attributes or both. For instance, this one is to look for nodes with a label Q and the name Neo or Morpheus. So this is one another example of a cipher query. And he said, so you have Neo and Morpheus. Of course, if we have more key name values for a node, it will be shown here. Okay. So you can create nodes. You can, of course, update nodes and delete nodes and whatever. And you can select, read, search for a specific nodes with specific labels or specific attributes or whatever. And what if you want to store a relationship? To store a relationship here is to create a vertex. And create a vertex is the syntax at the beginning is not easy because it's not SQL, but he said, look for a node of type Q of with the label Q with the name Trinity, and for another node with the type with the label Q and the name Vicente, then create a relationship between A and B, and the relationship will be called node. Each relation has a name. The return at the end is to get the results of this operation. It's not specifically needed, but you can put this. And now, here, you can see I am alone. I have no relation with the others. And now we create a vertex between the vertex has way. Are not as a relation in the relational model, but here he has a way. He says Trinity knows Vicente. Okay? So you can, of course, create when you want to store a relationship, you create a vertex in the graph. For instance, here I will create another relationship between me and the architect. Not me, it's my node. Now I have created. Okay, so, and what's the power of great graph databases? One of the power is that we are storing, managing, retrieving information of graphs. We are representing the graph. We have not to convert the graph in tables or whatever. You think in graph, your solution is based on graphs, so you use a graph structure, a graph organization, a graph database. And the graph database has nodes and can vertex. Then you can search for information on the nodes, on a specific nodes, or you can search, work, retrieve information about the relationships that are the vertex. So this is what is here. For instance, who is related with me? And when you say who is related with me, you can ask this in separate ways. You say, who is directly related with me? the elite is in first degree. But you can also ask in every degree. First degree, second degree means I am related with a node that is related with the other. So this is the way, this is the interesting thing about graphs, that it's not only one step, it's several degrees, and you can follow the degrees and you can determine as when you use, for instance, the sample. It's not exactly the same, but the sample of Google Maps. When you say go from this to this, it's from this to this, from A to B to C to D, and you sum that's the distance, the time, whatever. Okay? So, this cipher query here, the first one, means what has a node relation with Vicente, with the node that name is Vicente. And node with the star means we have a path in first, second, whatever degree. So we can determine, even you can specify a limit for the degree, for instance, until third degree. So this one you can test, you can check what he does. So in that case, it is supposed that the result will be the architect and Trinity, that is that one at one distance from me. It produced both ways, who knows me and who I know. This is provided here in the information. I am here identified by the number 6, that is an automatic, but he says, is from me to the architect or from Trinity to me. Of course, you can also limit only by one way, but if you only put the knowing of the relation, you get all the results, and then you can filter, you can do whatever you need for that. And he says, the relation with that. And as finally, as I told you, if you put here the star means node in. So as I have a relation with Trinity node, and Trinity has a relation with Morfeo node, and Morfeo has a node relation with Neo, and Morfeo has a node relation with Cypher, and Cypher has a, so I expect to get the information about this node that is related in different degrees. This is the information they produce to you. Of course, this is a console, this is a cell in an AP. We will get in another different format. Okay, but they say, Vicente with Trinity, from Trinity to Vicente. Vicente with Morpheus, he said. That is Trinity to Vicente, and Vicente to, Morpheus, Trinity, Trinity, Vicente. So it says first degree, second degree, third degree, fourth degree, whatever you can, and of course you get the information if here the vertex has no properties, but if the vertex has properties as the distance between two geographical points or whatever, you will get also the properties, the values associated to the vertex, so you can add distances, or you can do whatever you want. That is, at the end, is a graph to be stored to be in a permanent way. That is why databases are, and to be this data managed with the help of a database management system, in that case, a graph database management system. So this is a first look about this one of graph databases you can have. Of course, as I told you, this console is for the use of anyone to want to test. And the graph databases book that is in the reference provides you many, many good ideas about application situation where graph databases are the best option. And I told you, it's quite different from other Cassandra, Mongo, column-oriented. This is for graph solution, graph computation problem. Okay? This is the graph databases. Some question about graphs? Graph databases? Yeah?
Maybe I didn't understand about the direction of the arrow or vertex. So if the vertex has direction, does it mean something? Or is it working both ways?
No, they has direction. So, but you can use this direction or not. By default, by design of the database, has direction. But as I told you, you can use or not. For instance, in a geographical aspect, from Jyväskylä to
Helsinki.
There are many, many nodes between. But from Jyväskylä to Helsinki, you might have vertex in both ways, or vertex only in one direction. For instance, for the distance, you will only have a vertex because it's supposed to be symmetric, the distance. But for the time, you can consider, this is not the case, but about the elevation or whatever, it takes more time to come from Helsinki to Jyväskylä to Jyväskylä. So you might have two different vertex according to the direction. So it's your needs that defines if you need only one to be used an asymmetric concept, or you use two of them. Okay? Well, let's return to the material, and now I will go back to the exercises I proposed you about Cassandra and about Mongo. And the solutions of Cassandra and Mongo exercise are already available. Okay? But I will see because... Sorry. How would you go about removing the... Oh, okay. I don't remember anything. I look for the information under the documentation about the syntax of the cipher language to delete a node. So, anyway, in the console, all is delete. When you go out, all is delete, but there is, of course, a syntax to update a node or to delete a node or to update a vertex or to remove a vertex, to delete a vertex. There are information about that. But sorry, I don't remember at the moment what is the right syntax.
Does the resource you provided about the graph?
Sorry?
Does the resource you provided for, the graph stuff,
Sorry, I didn't say.
I'm not done yet. Does it go in detail about, how stuff happens under the hood? What does the, GraphQL or Node4j do? How it handles stuff? How it, stores data? And when you do some searches, what does it do? Does it go into detail about this, or do I have to find some other hood?
I am not sure I have understood you, sorry.
but... Database.
Yeah, exactly.
where he must read to get information what happens under the hood in the graphed databases?
I think that the book doesn't explain it so much. But I am sure that you can find technical information about that in any way. Not in the book. The book is more oriented to you to understand when and how to use graph databases more than the inner aspects of this. Okay? Well, at the end of the Cassandra exercises, I propose you an exercise that was to define a table for a proposal that was, you have videos, actors, but this is not a relational database. And I want to use a table to obtain a list of videos in which a certain actor participates. Order it by the date of addition, the most recent first, and bear in mind that an actor can play one or more characters. There are, you know, there are some times that an actor plays two different roles, two different characters in a movie. He makes up, and that's another. So, bearing this in mind, you should define what is the right primary key for that table. So, what is the right primary key for that table? When thinking of the query-driven design, that is query-driven design, this is the query that determines the design. So, the primary key here should be, I will see what have you answer about that. Here. Feature. And go back. For instance, some of you write actor, title, at the date, character name. Of course, if your goal is to search by actor, the partition key is the actor. So the first field of the primary key that by default, putting this inner parenthesis or not, is the first field, is actor. Okay? So first field, actor. Then it said, we want to obtain a list of videos in which a certain actor participates, ordered by the date of addition.
Please refresh the screen. So
sorry, refresh. Here.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I want.
I'd rather hide the names because.
To hide the name.
Because it's not so good. It was my fault, I should think. Thank you, God.
I won't say anything bad about nothing, about nobody, so, but okay, not names. This is another user. Okay, what happens here? It is another that has. I cannot see the definition of the table.
What? Try the next one.
Okay. The next one hasn't defined the primary key. Okay. I think this is the same like before. So first, actual. Second, it said that ordered by date of addition. So the order criteria, the sorting criteria, should also be in the primary key and in order. So the second field in the primary key should be the added data. Because I want to search for actor and to specify or not, but to get this order by added data. So this answer will not want order by added data, will order by title. And after title, by added data, but it's not that is specified in the query. So you should design according to your query requirements, and your query requirement is actor, then added data. And added data, not in the order, but as desk. Okay? Then we have actor and added data. Actor and added data is a good primary key. No. For instance, all of you have said actor and added data is not a good primary key. Why? Because it's not unique. Primary key in this is to determine the partition key, determine the ordering criteria, but also to ensure uniqueness. Because if you put actor added data, added date, you cannot have more than one actor added date pair. And if there are more videos than one, or more characters, or more whatever than this, this is not good. So, for the primary key, we should add video ID. Video ID to ensure the uniqueness of that. Not title, as I saw in another answer, because as I told you, title can be repeated. There might be some videos with the same title. For instance, I can release a video of the NoSQL database course each year, so the title might be repeated. So video. And this is not the full answer, because as it is said that an actor can play one or more characters in the same video, you should add character in the primary key to ensure uniqueness. So the right for instance, this is not the right. If you put the primary key is title, you are not allowed to look by actor, and you would only have one row per title. This one, actor, title, added date, character name. This again is not in the by fact. It's not in the good order, because you should put first actor, then added date, not first actor, then title, then added date. In that way, he ought order his sort by title, not by added date. And the other thing, and the other mistake here, for instance, is that to ensure uniqueness, you shouldn't use title. You shouldn't use video ID. And actor added date is not enough primary key. It's not enough primary key. Why? Because, as I told you, actor added date is not unique. And by fact, this solution is not good for other reasons. The inner parentheses means that you are forced to always search for both fields. And the query said, I want to look by actor. I don't want to specify the other date. I said I want to obtain Jim Hackman appearances. So the partition key should only be actor, not actor another date, because this is a compound partition key that is not the right for that. And this actor, no. If you put primary key actor, you can only have one row per actor. This is not a good primary key, not here, not in a relational database, never. Actor added date, no. Actor, video ID, ID date, title, character name, too much. For instance, here he puts partition key, actor, video ID. No, you cannot put video ID in the partition key because you are forced to write the partition key. The video ID is actor, added date, video ID, character name. So, as it's shown in the solution I provide, I have released you. Where is it? Here. There is. Yeah. The appropriate solution is actor, added date, video ID, character. As in the query, you are asked to produce the appearances in reverse order, you put added date, desk. The others, the syntax forces you to put anything. So you put video ID ascending and character name ascending. You should put each of the fields of the primary key that is not in the partition key, you should put in the cluster you're nearby. Be useful or not. Okay? Then, after that, you can copy, you can get the number of videos or get the videos from Jim Hackman or get the videos for Jonathan. For instance, what happens if I do that in the right way? He said no. As he used the video encoding type that is a user-defined type, you first have to run the exercise 6 that is not run here. I forgot sometimes. Okay, I need this. I need to create the user-defined type If you haven't done that, you need to create the user-defined type. Okay, now I can do so. If you do it in the right way, you will, the file contains 3,173 rows, and if all of them are correctly imported, that I remember that this information is not good. You should check how many rows do you have. And for instance, you have that Jim Hammond, you have three appearances of Jim Hammond, and about John Ashley, you have two appearances of John Ashley playing two characters in the same movie, Beast of the Yellow Knight. Okay, if you haven't defined the right proper, the right partition key or primary key or whatever, for instance, what happens if you forget to include the character name in your primary key? That you won't be, that the system is not able to have the same actor in the same video in two rows. So he will store one and he will discard the other. Sorry, a moment. I saw that and that now I ask the question. Exception, right? Okay. Now but the number of rows really ported are three less. And you have only one appearance of John Ashley in the movie because you don't allow two roles, two characters of the same actor in the main movie. This is a problem of uniqueness of the primary key. You have to define a primary key according to the partition key requirements, according to the ordinate requirements, but always in relational databases too, according to the primary key, the uniqueness requirements. So, in case you will be able to set by an actor, but also want to be able to set by both actor and description, how should you describe the primary key? So you should, if you want to search by actor or by actor and description, you should put description in the second field of the primary key. So you are forced to put in the search what you put in the partition key, but if you want to search for another thing, they should be present in the primary key, and they should be present after the partition key, right after the partition key. So you should determine if this is good or not, if this will order or not. For instance, in the final assignment, I propose you some goals, some query driving requirements for Cassandra, and in one of them you should determine if it is possible or not. You can try, you can do, and later you decide this is possible or this is not possible. Because of this kind of definition of the primary key for this query driving Cassandra model is searching criteria, partition key, ordering criteria, and always uniqueness of the primary key. Okay? Wouldn't you then be forced to also order the result based on the description? Yes, the result, if you put the description as the second field, the result will be first ordered by the description. If added date is the third field, it's a later, after, as ordering criteria after done description. So you, with this, this asking in the chat, won't order, but other did, will order by description, later by other data. So it's not possible to do both things. You decide to order by this, or to order by this, or to, you have two different tables if you need that. Okay? Well, so you have this, the solution, the comment, in order to you have orientated for the final assignment of Cassandra that you think this design of the parameter. Yes?
What you would expand on and expand on?
Oh, no, expand on is a way. When you have many fields instead of horizontal way, to put it in vertical way. Because if you try to solve all these fields in that, you are not able to expand this behavior. Okay? Well, about, by fact, a question that some of you asked by email. If you define in a wrong way the primary key of a table, best thing you can do is to drop the table and to design it again, to create it again. Not try to alter the table, to alter the primary key or whatever. But this is not only in Cassandra. There are some relational databases that are not happy with changing the primary key. So to change the primary key, sometimes it's better, and in Cassandra it's needed, to drop the table and create the table again with the right primary key. So, of course, always in database design, relational or not, first you should design with your carefully. You design carefully and then you proceed with the other things. Okay? Well, some question about that? Regarding the Mongo exercise, now you can find all the solutions for the Mongo exercise I propose. By fact, as someone brought me, the syntax is not easy at the beginning. Later, it's not easy too, but it's the syntax. Okay. And remember that in some application and with determined framework, you are not forced to write these. Most of these things are done by the developer, the framework. So you, the point you have to think on your data model, your collection, whatever, and rely on the system to do that. Here we can, you have to write this, so is the way to write this. By fact, the one that write me about that said, oh, but this is not good because when there is a mistake, a syntax error, doesn't say anything, where is the error? Sometimes says syntax error. It's up to you to look for the, this is not only in Mongo, there are many, many systems that it says syntax error. For instance, if I don't remember badly, the MySQL workbench does do that. They say, they sometimes explain the mistake, but they don't say, in character 32 of line 2. They say, the error is whatever, and if sometimes it really confuses to look for the mistake. So you have the documentation, you have here many samples, you have 12, then you have 20 samples of that, so you can find, aggregate queries, and so on about that. You, any of you have any special, this is the previous. Any particular doubt, question about Mongo? Or the Mongo exercises? No, I guess you, of course, as I told you, you can write me, and you can first check all these samples about that, and if you don't find whatever you want, you can go to the documentation, but all you need is, in any way, in these samples. So, well, why this is, you have not the 19th. Okay, I will provide you the 19th later.
Can you explain about the 18?
18? Yeah. This one? Okay, so, obtain the list of Spanish provinces whose total population is greater than or equal to 1,009,100 inhabitants. And so the total number of inhabitants in each of these provinces, or the list by decreasing number of inhabitants. So, this, if you are working in a SQL database, this means me getting some population from the table, group by province, having some population greater or equal than. So we are doing a selection. We are doing an aggregation. We are aggregating, grouping by province and putting a criteria on the sum of the population. Remember that a criteria on the sum of the population in SQL you will put not in the where clause, you will put in the having clause. Okay? Yeah? Do you understand the difference between the where clause and the having clause?
Yeah.
In SQL?
Yeah, I just saw that in...
Cool. So, in Mongo, the group by is right like this. Group by province. You don't put group by province. You put group by either province. And the group, you put the computation you want to do, that in that case is to sum the population of the municipalities, group by province. And then, if you have a criteria, then in this case is that the sum of the inhabitants for the all the municipalities in the province, this is a criteria with the computation, with the aggregation. The computation with the aggregation is put as a match, but after the group. If the criteria is to select the sum of municipalities that the municipality has a population greater than, this will be a match previous to the group. A match previous to the group is the equivalent to the where clause in SQL. But if in SQL you will use a having clause, here the match is after the group. And of course, is it possible to put both conditions before the group match and another match before after the group, that you have one of these in the samples I told you.
Should that be able to see the that place?
Sorry?
Should the last question.
Okay. No, they are already now.
Should they?
If I let's try. because I am unable to, sorry. Well, I will try to check. No?
Now it's possible for you to Mongo questions.
Yes, MongoDB lab solutions are supposed to... I put... It's not okay. I should put this.
Yeah.
It's not
because,
the same?
The lower one is you.
Oh, sorry. So I should add this to the...
But I can add, no problem.
So please...
What's the other one? It's the...
Yes. So this is to the...
Cassandra.
The 1A to the 2B and to the 3B. And also to the 4BB, please. Sorry, I was a mistake about that. What you see and what you not. Okay? So. Then, the point is that as I told you, you have to, first, when you have an application to develop and you have to store data, you will use a database. Your first option always is a relational database. Relational databases are great, but if there is any special requirement or if you expect a large volume of data, or you want more flexibility that it's provided with relational database. Relational databases are fixed structures. But you want flexibility, or you expect a large amount, or you want to work with graph, you will decide, you will study, we will analyze if to use a NoSQL database or not. So this is what we will do in this query-driven data modeling exercise. In the query-driven data modeling exercise, let's say, and we assume we expect a large volume of data because it's an application to manage information about coronavirus test. So it is said, by fact, I don't know if it's true or not, that at the beginning of the pandemic, the UK, the United Kingdom public health system start to store information about coronavirus in a data set. So when they grow, they start to have many, many problems because, of course, it's not a good idea. Okay, then they say we want to manage the information of COVID or coronavirus test carried on different patients. Each patient have a personal ID, the name, the surnames in different places and cities of the country, including if they are positive or negative. But we want to store this data, but with one preferred purpose, with one preferred goal, with one preferred quest. Done. My preferred quests, my foster quests are these three ones. List of the details of the test carried out on a patient, given his or her personal identifier. Another query I want to foster is that list of the details of the personal results of tests carried out in a specific place and city. As he said, order, for instance, for the details of a person, the most recent first. For the details of people, order alphabetically. And also, I want to get some statistics about test performance and positive results by city and day, for instance. How many positive how many tests and positive tests in GVascular today? So we will design a solution for Cassandra, for Mongo, for that purpose, and we will discuss which is better, Cassandra or Mongo. Is better a column-oriented or is better a document-oriented? For instance, for this case, this is not a graph problem. So we don't think about graph databases. But if we have a large amount of data, we can discuss if... In fact, there is another... The first family of NoSQL databases as key-value databases. Key-value databases are databases that all the organization is in the programmer side. The database is only is only responsible of the physical management of the distribution and that, but most of the information of the organization that is in the programmer side. Now with Cassandra or Mongo document column, we have some information about the organization stored and designed in the database. So, let's go. What about a Cassandra solution for that? What about a Cassandra solution for that? So, open your system and think. What tables should you define and with what fields should you define for that? Considering I want to store this information, but for these three queries. Okay, time's up. So answers and 1 of you said that test by person, test by place, test by day. Typically, if I have 3 different goals with 3 different specifications, for instance, the information. The query one, if you want to search by personal identifier, you should define a table where the personal identifier is the partition key. But if you want to search for test by place and city, you should define a table where the primary key is, the partition key is place and city. So these are 2 different tables. Necessarily, they are 2 different tables. We can do that in Cassandra efficiently with the same table. And the third one, the total number of tests, by fact, is possible to do a count. But it's possible, but might not be efficient. So if you, each time you perform a test, you store the information of a test, you increase the number of tests, and if it's positive, you increase the number of positive results, it's better you have a table with the test by day, in the test by day. So the first are completely necessary in Cassandra. The third is recommended by efficiency. You don't count each time. You don't count at the end of the day. It's better you go increasing one by one, provided we have the results, okay? And so this one of you have advanced of that, because the second question is, considering that we will have three tables, one for the first, one for the second, one for the third, what is the content and what is the primary key for each table? No, it's a good idea, I ask you. What is the primary key for each of these three tables? And you have open to all logged users.
Which one?
Each, all of them. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. I just watched it. Okay. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 1, 0. Okay, then, for the first table, that is to set by personal identifier, of course, the primary key, the partition key will be the personal identifier. Then, as we want to order by date, might be date of time, whatever, but this will be in the primary key. So, personal identifier, date. Partition key, personal identifier, date to order. And this is enough to have uniqueness? Yes. Yes. If instead of date, it's date of time, you are not able to do two tests at the same time in two different places, I guess. So this is a unique, this is a good primary key. For the second one, that said, list the details of the test carried out in a specific patient, in a specific place and city, order by names. Okay? Well, for that, city and place should be the partition key, because he said you want always to set by place and city. So the partition key for that is place and city. Not only place, as it says, it's city, place, city. The order in this case is independent. Okay, city and place is the partition key. Then, as you want to order by last name and first name, then, as is consistent in this answer, after place and city partition key, last name and first name, to be ordered in that. In that case, if you put this in the primary key and the order is ascending, you don't need to put the cluster order. Write the cluster in order is necessary when you want to put order descending. For instance, for the first one, you will put with cluster in order, date, desk. In that case, it is alphabetical. That is alphabetically increasing. You don't need to specify the cluster in order. And as this clever person said, last name and first name together with place and city is not enough to provide to ensure uniqueness. Why? Because there might be two persons with the same last name and first name. John Smith. So you saw that the personal identifier to ensure uniqueness. And more, you need to add the time of the test. And if a person takes different tests, you should provide uniqueness of the primary key. So time should be also in the primary. In which order? Oh, you say, if you want to order first by person, later by time, then you add the time at the end. Not the result. The result is a field of the table, but it's not never in the primary key. Result shouldn't be in the primary key. Okay? It will be one of the data of that. And what about the number of total tests and positive tests for a specified city and date? Then a primary key that is city and date. This is quite easy because city and date is unique, is the search criteria, and is the right thing I want. Okay, so the complete solution for that you can find in the solutions about that. That is, as I told you, the first table test by personal ID, where the primary key is personal identifier and test time. And the test time, as I want you in reverse chronological order, I should put in the clustering order desk. And what fields I want in this table? The personality, the place, the city, the test time, and the result. The result is not in the primary key, but it's needed to be in the table, of course. It's a relevant information. The other, the test by place and city, you can have place and city, last name and first name, and test time. Sorry, here it lasts the personal identifier because if it's possible to have two person, okay, I will fix right now. Do not forget. Where is? On the left, the editor is
on the left.
Sorry?
On the left. Okay.
Okay.
That's why you need last name and first name if you have person ID.
Because I want the order, but last name and first name. In the query requirements, he said, I want to get the results ordered alphabetically ordered. So this is not for the uniqueness. This is not for the query criteria. Okay? And the other, finally, the counting of positive and negative total test performance and positive results, you say city and day, and total test and positive test. In that case, total test and positive test, it must be a good idea to use the counter type of Cassandra to get consistent. If you need consistent results, in fact, it's not absolutely necessary, but it's a way, it's a good idea here, but because by fact you will, this number, you will only increase it one by one. So a counter idea is good. It's good when you want to count something in a consistent way, not to use simply an integer, an int type, else a counter type.
What if you want them ordered by most positive tests? You put that also to.
Sorry?
If you want to order them with a number of positive tests, should you also put positive test as a primary key?
Yes, but this table is designed to get positive and total performance by city and day. If you want to get in which city, or for instance, in Jyväskylä, what was the worst day of the pandemic? So you should put the city as the partition key, later the positive test in descending order in the primary key. If you want it ordered by the database, if you want something be ordered, you should put this in the primary key. So you should define a different table. You should design a different table for that purpose. For that purpose of getting that. Of course, this is for the fastest preferred queries. All other queries are possible. Are possible by using the allowable filtering or by doing it by yourself in the program. You can order. You can write a program that order results. Okay? But this is table is the table here are designed fostered for one purpose. The purpose here is to get for one city and day whatever. And you can try it with this data, for instance. If I take a coronavirus test last week before to come here, well, I will insert this information. How I insert information? I have carried a test negative. Yes, you insert in the test by PID table, and you also insert the information in the test by place and city table, and you update the counting table by saying one more in Valencia in that day, total tests are one more than previously. If total test was zero at the beginning or are not present, it's like zero. And for instance, then, assume I go today at 7:30, I go to the Jyväskylä hospital to make a new test. So you insert the information about that in both tables, and I update the counting that in the Jyväskylä hospital that one more test. And if you suppose that we have now a world summit between Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin, and they come to Jyväskylä and they test coronavirus, then, well, I put Joe Biden in Jyväskylä hospital at 7:45 at gate negative, so one more test, and Vladimir Putin is not in good health, so I hope, I guess it might be coronavirus or whatever. So you say, you insert one and you update that one more test and one more positive test. So this is the way you insert, but here we have the information of a test might be to be replicated because this is inserted in two tables according to the queries I want to perform. So this will be the Cassandra solution for that. And the query is, if you use your API, so if you use the SQL language, you can try to perform that. I haven't created the table, so I create the tables, then I do the insert. The insert has no output in the plugin. And I have the results of my test. Looking for the test by my personal ID. So in reverse chronological order. Or the test performed in the Ivaskilan Hospital at Ivaskila. So Joe Biden and me. On the test taken today, three tests, one of them positive. Okay, you can manage this data in this designed table for that. Okay. What about Mongo? In Mongo, you shouldn't define tables mainly because you have no tables, you have collections. But on the other hand, because you have not to previously define. But of course, that you have not to previously define in the database doesn't mean that you have not to think about it. So, how I will organize the information? I will organize information in collection. In which collections? Question, collections. Sorry. No, not here. Which collections? What collections should you use in that case for these three? For these three queries. Query about queries by PID, personal identifier, query by test by place and city, and a query about the count of tests performed and positive tests by city and day. Here, the point is that in Mongo, you can do whatever query you want in a collection. You are not limited for the primary key because the primary key is an automatic primary key. So the first and the second can be queried to the same collection. Here, you don't need two different collections for one and two. You can have this information in the same collection and one query by personal ID. We define putting personal ID, whatever, another putting place, city, in the same collection. So I don't need three tables, as some clever person here or online, I don't know, put two collections, test and count. And should you define something previously about these two collections? Should you define something previously about two collections? The name, the structure, the key names, the something. You, for the database, you shouldn't define a structure. You shouldn't define data types. Of course, in your programming, in your programmer, with your programming language, you will define, but not for the database. For the database, the collection will be created as needed, the insertion will be doing as needed, the search will be as needed. So, should you define something previously? The answer is yes. But yes, only one thing. You can define previously or later, by fact, that if you have these queries will be as faster as possible, you might define secondary indexes. Secondary indexes, like in relational databases. In relational databases, you define secondary index when you need some queries by this field are as fast as possible. It's not a sequential search. You go to the secondary index to that. So in Mongo, also the same. So you can have a collection of the test performance, but if you want to search by personal identifier, you create an index, a secondary index, by personal identifier. And if you want to search by place and city, you can create an index by place and city. And the other, with respect to the third query that said is to the count of tests, and is, as in Cassandra, is a good idea to store and increase not a table here, a collection of the results. Well, then we have here a collection of the results, total, positive, by city, and they indexed by, with a secondary index, by city and day. So, not to define the collection for the database, but you can place and city. Where is the? Here. So I have a mistake here. I fix. So you can create index in that way. Let's say by personal identifier, by place and city, by day and city, or whatever. By fact, there are a lot of, if you find in the MongoDB, the create index syntax, you can specify several things, as if they're unique or not, or ascending or descending, or what is preferred. For instance, here is an index with ascending order, or what. But you can, secondary index, like in relational database, you can define it or not, but this is for efficiency. For efficiency, in relational database, you create index, also in MongoDB. So, in that case, the equivalent to that we do in Cassandra is that if I take a test, I insert a document in the test collection. In that case, only in one collection. I don't need to insert in two tables because this collection serves for both queries. And I can update or insert in the counting table in this one. So this is, this might be, I was sure I was, I have changed that. I don't understand what happened with that. So this, I am, maybe because I am with Besa, not Besa, yes, with Besa user. I have updated this, like, well, I will leave. It's not exactly the same data that in the other, in the Cassandra, but, okay. And for the queries, as I talk, query, looking for the test to a personal identifier. So you put find personal identifier, my number. You can order by chronological. You can find what test has been performed in Givaskila Hospital. Or you can find the count of results in Givaskila. Okay? This, at this moment, if I do all that, I will get that. In the Mongo plugin, you only have result of the, only see the output of the last. So if you want to obtain the result of that, you comment the others and you say, test for my identifier. So the one I did the last week in Valencia and the other I did today here. Or, test done in the Givaskila Hospital. Nothing because there is some mistake I have to update in that because it's not putting Givaskila Hospital, it's putting Hospital G. So as he didn't match, he has nothing, no result here. Okay. And finally, I will fix later to you have all the information properly. And finally, the counting. So we have in Givaskila today 3 tests and 1 positive result. Okay? Remember then, when trying now, I will fix as soon as possible. This one is not covered. Okay? It's not the same as expected. Well, finally. Finally, so what is better for that? Cassandra or Mongo? Column oriented or document oriented? So that depends mainly on 4 considerations. Consistent consideration, availability consideration, flexibility, it's not to hear, flexibility consideration, sorry. I will edit, sorry. So, consistent conclusion. Your result is really important to be absolutely consistent? If the answer is yes, you should use Mongo. because Cassandra doesn't ensure consistency, full consistency, only for counters. So if consistency is your main issue, you should use Mongo. On the other side, if your main issue is availability, for availability, is better Cassandra. Cassandra has a higher availability than Mongo in the case you expect fails in the net or in the network or in the nodes or whatever you want. No, I prefer to get a result even in the case it's not absolutely fully consistent. So that, for that case, for that application we are talking, is not especially recommended one of them. It's the same for you. But if your application need consistency, Mongo. Need availability, Cassandra. If your application need flexibility is that once you need to store one information and the other you need to store an information with a different structure, the structure might change. So if you need flexibility, Mongo. Cassandra is really fixed. Mongo is semi-structured data, and it accepts whatever you need. So flexibility, Mongo. If none of the previous has decided you to how to use, you might consider the number of tables, collections you need. Then in that case, you have seen that in Cassandra, you need more tables than collections in Mongo. So if none of the previous defines, for instance, for that day, Mongo is slightly better than Cassandra because in Cassandra, you have to have the data mostly duplicated in two tables. So Mongo might be better. And finally, the other reason to determine what to use is the knowledge you have about a language, an APA, or what are they using in the company you will work for, or whatever. See, if in your company they are using Mongo, so you should develop a Mongo application. It's as easy as that. Okay? So this is, why is Mongo more consistent than Cassandra? Because Cassandra doesn't focus on consistency. He provides eventual consistency. Eventual consistency is that when you update or you insert a row, you might insert that will be replicated. It might be a small time difference between days inserted in the different nodes. So if you check for the data in a node, in a particular moment, you can get different results. This is, as it's called, eventual consistency. After some seconds, we will get consistency. But it's not full consistency. Full consistency is provided by Mongo and not by Cassandra. Okay, so if you need consistent data, you need full consistency, you need to use. Okay? So, to the end, as you remember, you have here the final assignments. You have to do something about Cassandra. You have some information about Cassandra. You have information about counties and cities and queries, and you should define the tables and the queries for this, to design the tables for the query. We want to obtain the data for a country selecting the code. Or we want to, so you should define the primary key, the partition key, the origin for the exercise. Here you have one, another, and the third about information about cities. And remember that you should define by the query requirements, not as in relational primary key. No, primary key here is by the query requirements. Okay, and the Mongo assignment, you shouldn't define anything. you should query, you should load the collection, a collection about data about the students, then you have several operations, insert, update, delete, obtain the number of students in a math major, or obtain whatever they have, answer. And this is the final assignment for the first grade, the extra grade, the second grade, you know as best as. Okay? So, it's a pleasure. Nice to meet you. You can write if you have any doubt or any question on any aspect. And I don't know if we'll see you again, but it's a pleasure. Okay? Thank you. So I will stop.